This video is brought to you by Holocasa. Our tool transforms independent local real estate agents to global real estate agents. Create your own profile for free and get contacted by international investors. Sign up with the link in the description.
Hello and welcome everyone to our 117th session of Holocasa. My name is Michael and today I'm talking to David Hennessy from Nîmes in France. David has been in the real estate business for the past 11 years in both Canada and France. David comes from a family of seasoned real estate professionals. And he has worked in real estate in Canada and France and started his own business in 2014 to help make the French real estate buying process easier for Anglophones. I like that. David, thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for being on the show. You're actually the first person from France on my show, which is surprisingly, and you're not even French. So give us an overview of who you are. Introduce yourself to our audience.
Yes, Michael, actually, I saw all the loads of work that you've done with many different people. And I was looking to see, because I'd watched a number of your interviews, there's nobody from France. Why not? Because France is such a popular destination. Like, it's the most touristed, visited country in the world. And there's a lot of people who are, as we say, Anglophones, English speaking, who come to France looking to buy a property. And yet there was no presence. So I thought I'd reach out to you, and I'm very grateful for this opportunity to share. To kind of explain how I'm in France is I moved to France about 13 years ago. But prior to being in France, I lived in Canada. And when I worked in Canada, I was working in real estate. And I understood the real estate system very well there. And when I came to France, I was quite surprised with, at that time, it's a little bit more regulated now than it was then, but how easy it was to start in real estate, because I worked in real estate sales. To separate the differences is that in North America, you have brokers who run the office and you have salespersons who are beneath them. And in France, same idea. There's the person, agent immobilier, who is the person who holds the license for the office. And then they have, say, an agent commercial or agent mandataire, which is a salesperson who works underneath that license. So I was working as a salesperson, not an owner of an office. And I started working actually in Cannes on the Côte d'Azur, very well known for the film festival. And at that time, I didn't speak very much French. But the strange thing about it was is that most of my clients were French. And that came about because when I worked in real estate in Canada, because like a lot of my family work in real estate there, Michael, I love giving customer service. And I always look long term. I don't think that it's like, it's not a transaction, it's a relationship for me. And when I was working in Cannes, even though I very little French, the French people really liked the fact that I was giving a lot of service. And helping them out and following up. And when they'd leave a message, I would call them back. So I created some relationships, created good business there. But one of the things that came up quite rapidly was that I would meet English-speaking people, Michael, and they would say, I need to find a real estate agent who speaks English in France, but I don't really understand the process and I don't want to buy anything in Cannes. So that happened multiple times, circa 2014. And I was like, there's an opportunity to help people here, because buying real estate in another country when you don't speak the language is, I would say, a very high risk activity. And I've met a number of people over the years who've made essentially big financial mistakes by kind of trying to treat the French real estate market as if it was the same as in their home country. And that's where ESR Air France, I created it to help educate people in how the real estate buying process works in France, to take away the mystery, decode, decrypt things, and also to help people connect with English-speaking real estate service providers. So core, like agents, because, I mean, you can find an agent in France potentially online in the big cities, Paris, Cannes, Nice, there's a fair amount. But in other areas, they're really hard to come by. And so that's one of the things that people need help with.
Perfect. Thank you so much for this overview. Why don't we start with the organization of the real estate business in France in general? How are real estate agents structured and companies structured?
People that work in real estate in France as an agent immobilier, that's the brokerage, they have to have a special training and education. So they have to have schooling and everything they go through. They have to be approved. They have a special card and everything, professional license that they have to operate under. And that's true out of France. There is a number of different associations of real estate agents in France, but one of the key differences is that when they operate as an agent running the office, In some cases, they are what almost would be in North America called boutique agencies, where there's just that person running the office and there's no one else. They're not working with individual salespeople. Like in Antibes, which is on the Côte d'Azur in the south of France, I know there's one street. I don't remember the name of the street, but it goes down to the water, where I once counted 10 real estate agencies in a period of like a mile. And these are all individual agencies, typically with one person, maybe a second person working with them. The concept of when I worked in real estate in Canada, or for people who've worked in America, is that there's usually one broker that runs the office with maybe 10, 20, 30, 40 agents inside the office. Now, there is some systems in France here where there's some companies that run with many, many different agents inside it, and there's just one brokerage office. But it's not one set pattern, to say this way. You can have boutique agencies, and like one agency that I worked in the south of France in Cannes, it was just one other person. She was the owner of the office, super nice lady. And when I moved, I was looking for someone else to work with who I felt a better relationship, and I worked with her. But I was the only other person that I remember that actually worked with her. But so like you could have two people. So that actually leads into a whole bunch of things as to why real estate is structured in a way it is in France, in terms of how when a person is going to buy property, Michael, there's different sorts of what they call listings or mandats. So when a property is for sale, it could be for sale with one agency. Okay, so that's a mandat exclusive. So it's not to be the same way it's interpreted in English, but it's an exclusive listing for that agency. And they're the only ones who hold the right to sell it. Okay. And then there can be a mandat sans exclusivity, where the agency has the right to sell, to market the property, probably better phrase, they're marketing the property, but they're not the only agency. There could be two, there could be three, there could be five. Plus, simultaneously, and this is something for people who are Anglophones coming to France, is to know that it could also be for sale with the owner at the same time. So there might be a mandat exclusive, sans exclusivity. So the agency is marketing the property and then the homeowner selling at the same time. Now, what makes it even more complex and the people that are coming from outside of France to understand is that the price could be different with the homeowner and with the agent, or they could be the same. So that leads, like, and also I always say to people, like if I do a consultation with people to educate them about how the process works in France, I mention to them, make sure that if you choose to look at a particular property you've seen advertised, that it's the lowest priced version of that same property. How do you know? So you kind of have to have, and this is one of the most important reasons as to why we work with an agent in France, is because you're trusting the professional will know the version of least expensive to show you. And that opens up another door, if I may, and if it doesn't follow, please ask me.
No, stop. Totally fine so far.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Is that some agents will work with other agents when they're selling properties. I've got property A for sale, for example. Now, bear in mind, I'm no longer working as a real estate agent, to clarify if people ask that. No, I run the network ESR Air France. But if I was working as an agent, or you were, you might have a property for sale and you may not want to, what they call in French, fait en collaboration. You may not want to work with another agent to sell that property. You're not going to let them show the property to anybody else. You're just working on it and that's it, which is very different from when I worked in real estate in Canada, where real estate agents, everybody would say, okay, I've got the property for sale. You can come bring your clients. Let's deal with it together. That's not always the case, but it can happen. So sometimes if you choose to work with an agent who's only going to show you the properties that they have in their file, you may be missing out on opportunities. Mm-hmm. So the first recommendation that I would make to people when they're choosing an agent in France is to make sure that you ask them the question, do you work with other agents, to make sure I have the most access? Then it adds another layer, is that there is not a unified multiple listing system in France at this moment in time. There is some systems that are like miniature MLSs, but there isn't a global one. So you can't find out where all the properties are for sale. So this is why you need professional help.
I have a question regarding buyer's agent, seller's agent. How is that common in France, or do you only work with one agent? As we know from the US, we have like an agent for the client, for the buyer, and one agent for the seller. How is that in France?
Okay, this is a very good question. The agent that, of course, that is representing the homeowner is going to be, quote unquote, in English, we would call it the listing agent. but they could also end up being the buyer's agent at the same time. But although technically they're not a buyer's agent in the legal sense, because a buyer's agent, what you're talking about to me is they have a contractual agreement with the buyer, right? Okay, that's typically in North America. And my understanding now, of course, for example, I'm just using the Canadian example because I used to work in real estate in Canada and I still have family there. Now, I don't think you can sell a property you have listed. It's completely separated. You're not able to sell that. But in France, people do this. They have the listing side and they can also work with the buyer at this moment in time. So for no legal advice, if people have more questions, they need to do more research or find the sources on that. So in terms of a buyer's agent, people will choose sometimes to work. They'll come to France and they will work with somebody who they have a contractual agreement with them to help them as a buyer find the property. And then within that agreement, which it's a relationship that they have contractually with the buyer and the agent, how the remuneration works, what the goal is, what the period of time is in that. And that can help people because then when they're looking, that agent will be looking on their behalf to find the multiple sources of properties that are available and then choose. And if they know a lot of agents, as I mentioned before, they collaborate with a lot of agents, then they could find, okay, well, that's property that's a waste of your time. This one fits your criteria. This one doesn't. That's something when, oh, I used to work in real estate in France. I did that. I would have a network of people and the people say what they're looking for. I would go source out and find out where is things, what works for you, and then come back to them. And then we would go do visits. So yes, they do exist in the sense you can have a buyer's agent in France and you have a seller's agent.
So let's say I am interested, I mean, on cheap, I'm interested in an object. Can you guide us through that entire imaginary process?
When people move to France, Michael, they make mistakes because they don't look at the big picture in terms of what they're actually doing is buying for a lifestyle. Most people are coming to France because they're retiring or they're buying a second home. And I remind them that don't just think about the house, think about the lifestyle. And therefore, for example, I currently live in a French village. This is wonderful for some people, but not the right lifestyle for others because it can be very busy, very active. People know what's going on everywhere. There's lots of festivities. People have to think about, and then this is something that I put in one of the buyer's guides I have, is a checklist for people to work through and think about this process. Because if you come to France, you've got so much of a variance in terms of the different regions, in terms of what the lifestyle is like, whether you're going to the Alps, whether you're going to the south of France, whether you're going to the west coast, whether you're going to Paris. It's all very different what you're going to experience. So another example of a lifestyle, and I will eventually get to answer your question with the details, but the feed into it is where people make their mistakes. They might say, oh, I look at this property online and they see that's a very, very good price. I'm really interested. So they zone in on a property. Maybe it's a 3-bedroom house. Maybe it has a piece of land. And I love the phrase in French they have when you read the advertisements, gros potentiel, which means big potential, which probably means to me in English, a money pit, meaning it's going to suck all your money in and not give much out. And before we get down to the story about the process here, this is things that I kind of like what we call in English the devil's advocate. When people talk to me, if I do a consultation with them, I'm kind of trying to onsell their idea in France to really test where their interest is. Okay, for example, I will say maybe actually renting is probably a better option for you than buying because it's a huge commitment. And they're like surprised that I would say that. And then I go back and say, well, do you really know the lifestyle that you're looking for? And they'll say, not really. I said, well, then you need to take the time to travel around. Maybe rent in an area. I've met people that have contacted me because they purchased in Lyon, which is kind of like the middle of France, a big city, beautiful city. And they contacted me because they said, well, we bought a house in Lyon. We now need to sell it. Do you know an agent in Lyon? Because they bought it directly. That's something we can talk about that in a moment, how that can happen in France. And they wanted to actually move down to the south of France. They didn't want to be in the middle of France anymore. But they'd lost money in that process. And how can I say, how did they lose money in that process? Because when you buy a property in France, leading into one of your questions, you have a notary, a French notary who handles the transaction, the Notaires de France. And on the average, it's about 8% that you pay. Say if the price of the property is 100,000, you'll pay 108. So it's 200,000, it's 216, doesn't change. If it's 1 million, it's 80,000, if the math is right. And that is really a tax that's not just the notaries grabbing a bunch of money. No, there's a what they call in England the stamp tax, property transfer tax in different countries, and that there's a lot of tax that's in there. Now you have to imagine if you make a mistake buying a property because you bought it in the wrong location, or we'll talk about other reasons that people need to be aware of, is that they go, you've then got to sell the property for more than 108,000 to even close to breaking even. So I educate people about that process. That answers one of your questions. That you found the ideal property, you have to be right away. You have upfront expenses that you're going to pay, which is a considerable amount. You know, would you agree 8% is a large amount to pay? Because the market doesn't generally tend to move, for example, so fast in France as in some other countries. So if you want to acquire that 8% in value growth, how soon are you going to get it? So this is why I always caution people as to where you're looking. So look for lifestyle. Do you want to be by the sea? Do you want to be, you know, what area, what is it you really are looking for? Would you like to be in an area where there's lots of vineyards? Do you want land? And then kind of inside of the lifestyle choice, then you start to look for your home. Because people can get very frustrated when they start looking at property and they've spent years because they haven't really thought about what is it I'm really looking for in France. So once they actually do that, and some people, for example, it can be years because I can tell that because I have a newsletter following some of these people for years. They've been reading it and all of a sudden they'll contact me and say, now we're looking for an agent and we've gone to France a few times, which I would recommend on vacation. They found an area. Let's say, for example, traditionally, they might say, I want to move to Nice, but I now need an agent that's going to work with me. As you mentioned before, someone who's going to work on their behalf as a buyer's agent and help search. Because if you're living in another country, you can't go for every visit, right? You need somebody to kind of pre-screen things ahead of time unless you're very focused. So it's very different when you're operating from another country and then you have to have someone that you can trust that you have a relationship with. And inside of that, for people listening, is that, of course, it's not always so clear, but I've had people say this, I wish I'd thought of that, is that there is a lot of sites where you'll see property for sale in France. And it'll be written in English, but those sites are still a very small subset of all the property that's for sale. Okay, so you need to be aware that if you're just looking at sites where properties for sale advertised in English, you're probably going to miss out on a lot of property. So what you need to do is you need to have a real estate professional who is not just English speaking to speak with you, but they have to be fluent in French. Because most of the homeowners are French. Sounds so obvious. Most of the agents are going to be French. And how can they negotiate on your behalf, which is your biggest value add for a real estate agent, if they can't speak the language and operate in that environment? So I know recently I had a lady contact me and it really quite surprised me. She said that she was looking for an agent who was English speaking. And this was in the area of Montpellier. And I knew an agent who does extremely good work, who's English speaking, but she's French. But she speaks English probably better than I do. But the lady said, no, I want a native English speaker. I said, well, she's not a native English speaker, but she's, and the thing is that this lady who's French, she has that network that some English speaking agents who came, if they came from outside of France, wouldn't have. You know, she knows the culture, she knows that. So it's very important. It sounds so obvious, but I don't always see that. People, you know, people come to France and say, I'd love to work as a real estate agent. And I'd say, well, great. They'll talk to me and say, David, you know, can I get a general idea of what it's like? And I'll say, do you speak French? And they'll say, no. I says, it's going to be very hard for you to operate. I'm a bit of an exception because when I started in real estate, I didn't speak much French, but I learned French. And so you have to understand that. So going back to your question about the process, if you find the right agent, then when you start to look at looking at properties, somebody who's able to bring you to the attention of as much properties as possible, find you the best example of the property that's for sale at the best price. Once again, if somebody just joined your podcast, I'm saying that you can see a property for sale at different prices with different agencies. And when you go to see the property, let's just getting closer to what you asked, Michael. I've had this experience even working as an agent. The agent you phone up and said, I see I have an advertisement for our property and I think it could be of interest to my client. Can I go see it? And the agent will say, yes, I will meet you outside the Tabac, like the local magazine shop, newspaper shop, or tobacconist, shall we say. And then we'll go to the property. They won't tell you the address. So they don't want you to know where the address is. And there's a reason behind that. The reason is because, do you want to guess? They don't have
you can you can just take it. Yeah.
Yes, because if there's
you can take the mandate
on it, I could go. I could, but I wouldn't do it. It's not my style. But as another agent, you could go knock on the door, Or as a home buyer, you can go knock on the door and say, listen, I hear your property's for sale. So there's a protected environment in that way. When you work with a network of agents and they trust you, then they won't mind telling you the address because you may have actually seen it before. It's possible because sometimes agents will advertise properties at different angles to try and figure out, you know, to the buyer might call. Is a little clue to people if you're looking at advertisements online in France and you want to try and figure out, is that the same property? The price isn't exactly right. Look at photos of the kitchen. Usually that's something that's very hard to find. If the cabinets are red or something, you know, you can take photographs of the bedrooms from different angles, but you kind of have to get through that to kind of figure out, oh yeah, I've already seen that property. So that's a little bit of the mystery as to when you get into real estate in France as to how you're going to do it. And that can be frustrating to people if they don't know it ahead of time. And this is one of the things that I'm constantly doing is educating people about the process. So, and then it comes down to, as you mentioned, if you find the right property and then you go take a look at the property and you decide you want to buy the property and you're at the point where you think you want to make an offer on it, I always suggest to people step back from it a little bit. You know, even if you have what they call in French, and pardon my pronunciation, what pronunciation they call a coup de coeur, which is like when your heart speeds up, you're excited about it. Step back from it a little bit and think, okay, what do I need to know about this property to make sure that I'm getting the best value? Because I believe, Michael, and you knowing a lot of people in real estate would know this too, the best thing you can do on a property is the best price is when you buy it, is not what you can sell it for. If you pay the wrong price when you buy it, this is where your biggest mistake can be. And some people might say, well, David, why? Well, I'm going to give some solutions, but I'm going to suggest one of the things could be so if in France you buy a property that needs to be renovated, it can be very expensive to renovate. That's one thing, because it can be hard to source the artisans, the workers. If you're looking for English-speaking artisans, I don't know that many myself, even after being here years. So you have to have somebody to communicate. Then on top of that, the cost of the pieces for the work, even if you're going to try and do the work on your own, can be quite expensive as well. And what I've noticed surprisingly in France, and some of the local businesses may not thank me for saying this, but it's honest, the tools that you use to do renovations are quite expensive. So I say to people, when you're looking at a property in France, I'm not going to tell you which property to buy, but look at the levels of work that you have to do. If it's something where you can move in, and imagine if you're living in another country, you can move in, you can do some renovation and make it the style you want. That's one thing. But if you're looking at a property with quote unquote growth potential, you have to say, hang on a second here. This looks really sweet. Looks like a castle. Looks like it's a dream home. But you need to start checking. You need to have somebody actually check on your behalf. Can you actually renovate that property into a property that's habitable, that you can live in? It may no longer be possible. There may be things where there's restrictions, so much so on that particular area that it's not possible to do. You don't want to buy the property, start to renovate, and then find out I can't do stuff. Okay, so that's my concern for people. Okay, to backtrack a little bit, what can they do? There is some things that are very important for people to get before they make an offer. Because when I say make an offer on a home, you're looking at property, let's just use a number again, 100,000. Okay, that's not right number, but 100,000, could be a million, whatever the number you want. So you're going to make an offer on a home, but how do you know how much the property's worth? There's two things. The access to information on pricing in France is not easy. That's another reason to work with a professional who knows the neighborhood, who knows it really well, who can share with you sales, as we say in English, comparables, prices and that. But also, if you have a good idea what the approximate value of the property is, then you can then ask the agent who is working with you. Maybe it's the agent that represents the owner. Maybe it's the agent that's working with you for what are called the diagnostic reports. And these diagnostic reports are really, really important because they can change the value of the property. So if you made you go to the owner, I'll make offer 100,000. They say, great. Then you get the diagnostic reports and you find out, let's give an example. The property has amiante, which is the French term for asbestos. Well, that's going to be potentially expensive for you to move. Or maybe it has lead in it, some reasons. It could be in the windows. It could be somewhere in the home. Okay. You also have energetic efficiency, the DPE, as it's called, a diagnostic for performance and energy efficiency. Now there's restrictions that are in France, and this is why you need to talk to a professional, that certain homes, for example, that you buy, just giving people the general picture here and not to overwhelm them. This is what I'm concerned about, Michael, is that when you buy a home, depending on the energy efficiency rating, if you decide, okay, I'm going to buy it, but I won't always be in France and I'm going to rent it out. The government is bringing in rules that are staggered right now that will mean that if your energy efficiency isn't correct on the home, if it's too low, you can't rent it out. So that's something you have to be aware of. Most people come into France will probably not be aware of that unless they were operating in France. And to move a home from one energy efficiency to another is an expense that you will have to pay, which means the value of the property you're buying would be less, right? So if it's 100,000, maybe to bring it up to the level where you could rent it in the future, it might be 5, it might be 10. Maybe you've got to change the windows. Maybe you've got to change the source of heating, something like that. Then there's also the electricity, which is another diagnostic report. And you have to really make sure that if it's not up to the norm, as they say, up to code, how much is it going to cost you? So without talking about all the diagnostic reports, I say to people, look at the diagnostic reports, look at the deficiencies. And I give them a classic example. Get somebody to give you an estimate, maybe 2-3 people give you an estimate on what that repair will cost. Then factor that into what you're going to pay for the home. Now, this sounds like an enormous amount of work, but do we really want people to buy a property that they paid too high for it? And me, it's like, no, I want people to know. And then if you're looking and you're operating, getting help from a professional, and you're spending time looking at neighborhoods, then you're going to get a sense of what the value is. But the condition of a home inside, it can vary a lot. You know, you can't tell. Like, I remember I could drive by homes in Canada just by the outside of the home. I could tell the floor plan. In France, no, I can't do the same, especially with village homes and that. And just a few other tips I will throw out here because they jump up on my mind and then go deeper into your question is that when you go to a home, make sure if you have a mobile phone, try using it inside the home. Because sometimes, particularly in the village homes, it won't work. So you want to know, is there network? And you also want to check, is there an internet connection in that area that's a high speed if you need that to work from home? Don't assume that it's all going to be there. I mean, this might be disheartening, Michael, but these are all little details that people need to think of. Because if I was buying a property back in, you know, in Vancouver, Canada, these are not questions I would think of. Not at all. But these are all things. Imagine you move into your home and then maybe you have a plumbing problem or something and you got the phone's not working, you know. So something else about the diagnostic reports. Not in my awareness do the diagnostic reports cover something that's very expensive to repair in France, the roof. So when you're looking at buying a property, you should get a professional to come in. And this is something that would be captured by something that's not very common in France. I know that I haven't got to your buying the property, but I'm giving a lot of lead in that people need to think about is that in Canada, it was so rare when I worked in real estate that people would not get a home inspection done. In France, my experience was through the years that I worked in real estate, I never had anybody get an inspection done, even though inspectors do exist. And if you want to get an inspector in France, this is something like one of the things I mentioned in the buyer's question, you want to get an inspector, what you need to do is find an inspector that works in the area that you're planning on buying in, not France, but like maybe Occitanie or maybe in Provence, Alpes-Côte d'Azur, just more close to the area, maybe that's even too big. And know that they might be available because they book up ahead of time. And if you decide, I found the property, it's perfect, and you really want a deeper insight than what's in the diagnostic reports, maybe you want to look at the structure, great idea, all the details, the value of the property, you'll be able to get the inspector to come in and say, listen, I'm looking at this property, I want to make an offer. Can you, how soon can you come? You want them to be in there as ASAP. Because I've had people contact me saying that out of the blue, I knew not these people. They'll come to ESRI France. They're looking for an English-speaking real estate professional. Say, I need an inspector. I've made an offer already on a property. We have an appointment at the notary's office to do the formal contract. But we need an inspection done. We need it done within 2 days. Couldn't find anybody. It's not possible. So that's legwork that people need to do ahead of time? Do you have a question? Because I've talked a lot here. I'm sorry
It's
about that.
amazing. I just keep silent. No, yes, I do have a question.
I hope I'm not terrifying you or listeners, but it's a great thing to live in France. But if you want to buy property, I want to protect people as much as reduce the stress by knowing what they can encounter, right?
Perfect. No, I love it. I do love it. My question is regarding the difference between the appraisal process and also this, how do you call it? The report which you get where you have all these elements written down.
Diagnostic reports.
Exactly. Is that the same, like the inspector is not the one providing the diagnostic reports? Where do I get the diagnostic reports from?
The diagnostic reports are made by technicians that the homeowner will typically have hired to do when they bring in a property to the market. And sometimes, I don't know if they've changed this rule or not, Michael, I'd have to check again, but sometimes people just do the energy efficiency, like they don't do all the reports prior to putting the property on the market. They just do the minimal because it's 4 to 9, I think it's 4, 5, 6, 7, maybe 900 euros to do all of it. And, you know, they're like, well, maybe my property won't sell, so I don't want to pay all this up front. So then sometimes either the energy efficiency will be done. I believe that one's required. I'm trying to remember if there's another one, but there's a whole list of them, as I mentioned, that may not have been done. So you go find the property and you say to the homeowner, I would like to see the diagnostic reports, for example, on the visit when you're there. They may not have them. Mm-hmm. They may not have all of them. So you're kind of caught in a bit of a quandary. I mean, me, I know that when I was working in real estate, and this is another question, people to make a note to ask your agent to ask this, or I will not go see the property.
Yep.
Say to the homeowner, I would like to see the diagnostic reports. If they say they haven't done them yet, is it worth your while? Now that goes to the motivation of the seller. Oh, I don't think I won't invest in getting these reports done. I would ask myself a question, why? A, because they don't really have the motivation to sell. B, maybe the property is super high and they're the ones who, you know, this can happen easily where the agent said, this is the value of your property. And the homeowner says, well, I want this. So just use them as red flags sometimes to make yourself aware.
Mm-hmm. Makes total sense.
Reports, yeah.
And then
mm-hmm.
I guess the inspector, it's who I am paying as a potential home buyer,
as a
correct?
Buyer. Yeah, you'll be paying the inspector and they will do a much more in-depth report. And you can probably, I would say to them, you know, check stuff. For example, you might get stuff about the electricity, but you want them to look deeper. Okay, I've heard stories about technicians who didn't notice something in the home where you needed to know that, for example, there's homes for sale in France where there's a lot of deficiencies on the electricity. It could be 5, 10,000 euros for work that has to be done, you know, not a minor detail. So these are all front end costs that you need to be aware of before you make an offer on a property, unless you really want to take the high level risk. And I'm going to make an offer on it. And I think in that way, because, you know, when I worked in real estate, you know, you're a professional negotiator. You don't start off a negotiation by say, I agree on paying 100,000 for the home. Then when you find a problem, say to the owner, can we reduce it by 10? It's not going to work out well. Chances are, and you might be getting lost in this property when there might be a better property over here.
Yeah.
So
I have one more quick question regarding the inspection. Sorry to cut you off.
No.
Basically, is there any price range which I can, so that I have an idea what I have to account for money wise, which I have to pay, let's say a family home, and I want to ask the inspector to do, let's say, electricity, energy, what you said, maybe roof and general analysis.
Maybe okay, I can tell you what I know because I've never hired an inspector myself. When I've talked to inspectors, what they've told me is that there isn't a set price because it depends what you said. What are the different things you want to have done? Plus the size of the home.
I guess
and
so.
They charge almost like on their time, how much effort is going to be. Plus, as I mentioned before, for some people to be aware, some of the inspectors might be having to travel to the location. So there'll be a fee for travel, maybe even a fee for staying in a hotel. So it's not like my experience in Canada where there was a fee that you could say, and there's plenty of inspectors around. So Michael, no, I can't give a set price range.
Mm-hmm.
I would say it's going to be thousands. It's not going to be 500, 600.
Okay.
It's not going to be
exactly. That's what I want to hear. Okay.
Yeah. Perfect. Because I mean, in most people, you know, in France, there's very few people that are buying properties that are that are quite inexpensive, you know, and it's not that many people that are buying multi-million dollar properties. But if you're investing in a property that you're going to take potentially your life savings or your retirement money or in a secondary investment, then you're going to pay $150 to not take the time to have an inspection if it's needed, if there's a reason for it. You know, it depends on the age of the home and a lot of different criteria. You know, if somebody was going to do that, for example, I would put them in touch with a home inspector and they could talk to them about the property. And then the inspector would say, well, we should check X, Y, Z. You know, that's their expertise. The agent wouldn't be telling them what to check. It would be the inspector. Yeah, so there's those are costs that can't be defined ahead of time, because that's what I've been told by home inspectors, because people have said, well, what's the price range? Exactly what you said. And I said, you've got to talk to an inspector about the specific property.
Let's go to the next step regarding the buying process.
If you find the property and you decide to make an offer and you, your agent, or like, for example, we didn't say this yet, is that people can buy directly from homeowners. In France, it's called particulier à particulier, pardon my French, which is individual to individual. So, you know what, that, be, you know, tread cautiously because you're dealing directly with the homeowner, how much you can negotiate unless you're really good at that. And if they speak only French and you only speak English, I don't know how that process can work out. So, but you, once there's an agreement between two parties to buy and sell the property and you've decided on the price, then you will go and make an appointment with the notary. And the notary is the one who will draw up all the transaction, all the forms. And they will work on that. And it's not like you call them up and the next day they do it. They have a schedule that they have with other sales and that they're working on, transactions and that. And that's one of the things, the notaries do know all the sale prices of property in France because they hold that data, but there's not anybody else who holds that much information on pricing as the notaries. But you make an appointment with the notary, they will draft up the document ahead of time. Now, something you should have done, Michael, before you even looked at the property, is that one of the things is about financing. Okay, because you will have a, if you're buying a property, you know, a fair amount of people will buy what's called cash, meaning they don't have credit. But a certain amount of people will buy with credit. But it's not as probably as simple as the experiences in your home country. This is what I mentioned to people. You need, before you look at properties in France, to speak with, and thankfully they do exist, a certain amount of English-speaking French mortgage brokers. They know all the rules and regulations in France. That's not my expertise. And they don't even want to talk to me about the details because that's private to people they're financing. But you, I recommend to people, before you actually even look at advertisements, if you can hold your eyes away from it, talk to an English-speaking French mortgage broker and get yourself a sense of what you can afford. Because if you're not based in France, all the different criteria is very different from if you're, you know, if you're living, I use again, Canada, you live in Canada, you're working in Canada, you've got a history in Canada, but you're going to buy a property in France and you're going to get a mortgage for it. There's a lot of hoops that you have to jump through and you need to set things up for that. So that's what you need an expert on that side to help you. And then they might say, actually, the property that you can afford is in this price range. And then when you actually have the compromis written, the compromis de vente, which is just the initial contract that you write with the notary, what happens is once you have that, then you send that over to us, get it over to us, and we'll work on the financing. But it's not something that happens within a couple of days. From mortgage brokers, to remember, going to my memory here, can be 6 to 14 weeks before they actually get an offer of a mortgage from one of the banks they're working with that comes back to you as a buyer for you to say, okay, I've got a mortgage. So you can tell that the length of time to purchase a property in France is quite long. It can be, if it's a cash transaction, it doesn't take as long. But if it's not a cash transaction, it can take a long period of time.
I know that from the US that you sometimes get the pre-approval or the approval,
yes,
that you get it from before. So basically you go to the bank, hey, that's my track record, that's my salary, that's who I am, what could I buy? And then you go shopping.
Yeah, and in I think in Canada, although it's been a few years since I lived in Canada and even more since I worked in real estate there, my memory was you would have a bank's pre-approval subject to appraisal of the home. Anybody listening, if I'm wrong, pardon me, I'm not giving any legal advice here. That's what my memory is of it. But in France, they can't give you the same thing.
Okay.
They don't give you that. They'll give you a kind of a simulation, but there's a lot of stuff that they have to work through first to make sure. So you need to allow that for a buffer of time. So you, my recommendation is get all your paperwork in place, know what it is to the French mortgage broker before you go shopping, because it might change your purchase price as well. And the last thing you want to do is make an offer on a property that you're in love with and something doesn't work out on the financing because you didn't have something that you needed to get from your home country, that when you called whoever it is for that information, they said it's going to take 2 weeks and you needed it yesterday. So that's front end work that you need to do. So you got in there. Go ahead. You have a question. I can see.
Can you name on top of your head documents which you definitely need? Like you need your passport, you need your maybe your latest tax return report, you need maybe your, I don't know, employment certificate or salary from your home country. Do you need anything else which you need to present to the mortgage broker in order to get something? Do you need a local tax ID or any sort of ID, anything? Because I'm asking because I know that from Spain, for example, from the interviews, that they say, okay, you know, we help you getting like your tax ID, you can, everyone can get it, then with the tax ID you go to the bank and then they open a bank account and then we go step by step with those documents. Do you know anything about that?
Okay, I will give my personal experience because I bought property in France, but the specifics, this is why I put people in touch with a mortgage broker. I want to get out of the way so they have the questions.
Totally. No, we know that you're not, it's fine. Like
just because I want people to get I really want people to take the time to talk to the expert, Michael.
Yeah, totally.
With me, for example, this is where filling in the gap on people's financial resources is very important to French banks. When I purchased a property in France, I had what they call a CDI, which is a long-term contract in France with a French company. That's something that they value a lot. If you have what's called a CDD, which is a contract with a definitive ending point, there's not as much value in that. So that's just one thing to show up. If somebody is coming from outside the country, chances are they're not going to be working in France and not have a job with a French. So the bank mortgage broker will look at their file in general and give them specific requests to show. So it's not like, I mean, when you're talking to somebody who's in Miami and they're buying in Miami and they're American, it's going to be very different from somebody who's buying in France, who's coming from outside. And that's why I caution people, just figure this out ahead of time, find out, because people can be coming from all different angles. They could be coming from Spain to buy in France. They could be coming from England, which could be affected because of Brexit. They could be coming from Canada. This is something else to be aware of, and just putting this into the mix here, is that of course, when you're buying in France, one of your costs is going to be bringing money to France. Okay, this factors into the fact that I made a big mistake when I moved from Canada to France, and I don't mind telling people this. I moved money from my Canadian bank to a French bank, and I paid a premium for doing that. So one of the things that people often reach out to me is they say, listen, David, I need to get help moving, say, dollars to that. Do you have any idea? So I know some people that work in currency exchange that can actually help them get the better rate, because it's just, people can lose money in lots of different ways. I didn't know that. Right. So that's something that goes into the fact when you mentioned about the bank, one of the things that you'll need to establish with the notary and also with your bank, kind of just giving a little bit of information for people to think of. If your money that you're using as your deposit, say you're putting a deposit down of 10%, it's in the US and you're buying a property in France, it needs to be there by a certain date for the notary to process the transaction. There could be a huge delay. This is not like you're moving money from a French bank into the notary's office. Again, that's just a red flag for people to think about. Timing is very, very important. And that's something else I would say to people as well. There is English-speaking notaries in France. And I want to talk a little bit about that because it's very valuable for people. That once they start shopping, they should reach out and actually have a little conversation with a notary to ask them about that process. So, you know, what timeline, how soon should I have XYZ done for you to make sure this goes smoothly? Now, that's beneficial, of course, but also to be aware that some people will say, when I come to France, who's paying the notary's fees? At this moment in time, it's the buyer that pays the notary fee. Maybe that didn't come across clearly. Like I mentioned, if you're paying 100,000 and the notary's fee is 8%, so the buyer's paying them. If you come to a homeowner, and the notary who has all the documentation on that property when the owner bought it would be their notary, the seller's notary, right? The vendor, the seller's notary. You don't have to work with their notary. You can have your own separate notary. That's the first thing. You can have your own separate notary that's, yours speaks English, theirs speaks French. Of course, yours is bilingual as well, because he'll be a French professional. And in addition, what happens with the fees is you pay the fee, but it's split between the two notaries. You're not going to pay more because you have an English-speaking French notary. That's something that's extremely valuable for Anglophones to know. Sometimes they notice, but sometimes not. And I've met people who said, oh, I just want to make it simple. I'll just choose their notary. But hang on a second. The document's going to be all in French. The person is going to be handling this in French, and you're not a bilingual. Do you really want to sign a contract that you don't know all the details inside?
And that's more to use an English one, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, again, I'm bringing out these caveats. I'm not giving people legal advice, but saying, think about this. You could be buying a property where you don't know all the details of the land, whether there's a right of way that someone can pass through it, because you can't read that document. Take the time, and you can actually find, this is a tip for people, you can go to the notaire.fr website and search by language, which is wonderful, and find a notary that's in the area that you're looking at. So this is legwork you can do ahead of time. And that's one of the things that I help guide people on.
Then I guess you have your down payment. You mentioned the down payment is generally like 10%.
It can be that, yes. You can decide on what it's going to be, but it's going to be written into the contract.
Yeah.
I can speak for me that I put 10% down when I purchased. So, but I can't say my contract was the only one. But yeah, there's certain things. I haven't seen something where people are buying with zero down. But this is, of course, I'm talking about individuals buying property. See, this is something different. You said there's certain things that happen that you'll want to know that in France, that if you're buying as an individual, it's different if you're buying as a company structure. And that's, again, where I would say to people, few more things to be aware of before you get into a contract in France. Get legal advice from a real estate tax lawyer legal advice from a real estate lawyer or a tax lawyer. Because, for example, you buy the property in France and for some reason you then want to sell it. Maybe it's a forced sale because of a divorce. Maybe it's because you decide you don't want to keep the property. Maybe, sadly, maybe you bought it with your spouse and there's now a debt. How will that work out for you tax-wise? You need to know ahead of time. Don't wait till you purchase the property to find out that it was a different legal structure you should have done and you should have been aware of. Just all those different things. And I can't speak on those, but these are things I tell people, check into it. And I'm totally impressed with people who contact me and they say, David, I need to find an English-speaking real estate agent, but also talk to a tax lawyer. Like, they give me a list of the people, because that's what most people do that are professionals. They know that. Because I'm just heartbroken when I hear people that they've jumped in, bought a property with lots of potential, found out it's a nightmare, it's sucking their money, then they have had the worst experience ever of buying property in France. And it's really sad, because mm-hmm. It can be a beautiful place to live. And the properties are so charming. Like, when I look at French properties in the villages, it's like human beings are all so different. We offer so much charm and we're all unique. That's what properties are like in most cases, like in the villages of France. They're the traditional homes that you will see. You can have what they call lotissement, which is like a subdivision in North America, for example, where homes are very similar. But the real charm is the village homes. It's the ones that have people love with the exposed stone. And you can never tell what it looks like inside. You might be looking at it and you see, oh, okay, looks like it's three floors. But actually, no, maybe the top two floors belong to the property beside. I've seen this. I've been in places like that. And I'm like, oh, how does that work? Because somehow over time, these beautiful homes got cut in different ways and they never look the same. And that's part of the charm. You really do have your own unique home and lots of opportunities, you know, for you.
David, I thank you very much. You guided us through, or basically you helped us immerse into the French real estate market. You gave us a very in-depth analytical overview on why to buy, how to buy, and especially like what to take care of. I think you managed to also implicitly show us that France is a very highly regulated country, so you have a lot of potential hiccups which you have to take care of, which might not be the case in other countries. You also showed us that the entire buying process is very complicated, and you have to take care of a lot of things. You guide us also through the entire mortgage process on making sure to work with a mortgage broker who is also knowledgeable, working with a notary who is knowledgeable, and also especially speaks English. That's very important. And again, you showed us that the beauty of France and of Europe by being grown or having grown for so many decades, for so many centuries, has also then its challenges in legal terms, which might then become present and visible once you think you buy a property which actually doesn't even belong to that building anymore. Thank you so much. I really appreciate the entire exchange, the entire conversation. I let you talk for most of the time because I just really enjoyed listening to you. Is there anything you would like to share with the audience which you haven't?
I would actually, yes. As you can probably tell, I mean, I love living in France and I love French real estate, but my approach is to kind of help people avoid mistakes. And I don't know if attached to the video or not, but the website esoriefrance.com. I have a free e-guide, if I can mention that, where they can get, for example, a little bit free ebook that's mistakes to avoid when you're buying real estate in France. That's like the first introduction. I also do have, if I may say, there's 110 tips French real estate buyer's guide, which gives them a ton of stuff, including checklists. So they can start these things. I would say to people, get them ahead of time. Like if you're thinking in 2 years time to buy in France, start assimilating the information. So because I want people to learn the questions they need to ask so that it's not in the midst of things that they learn it. And at one point in time, I mentioned there's a buyer's course, like that's all videos some like to read, some people like videos. But my whole idea is I love to see people educate themselves ahead of time so that they can avoid it. It becomes a less stressful experience because you're taking on a beautiful dream, but I don't want people to be disappointed. And I'm well ahead, like I'm before the real estate agents, I'm before the mortgage broker. I'm just trying to help people understand the process as you've discovered, Michael, to do my very best to make the process better for people.
Perfect. I think it's super valuable to have someone like you who is not trying to just like make a sale, but really to help the buyer to not make mistakes. I will put those obviously those links in the show notes so people can directly click on them and reach out to you. Is there any other way? How can people contact you?
The best way is actually I will tell you something that may not be so obvious. English speaking real estate agents France is the full name for the network, right? But that's why it's esoriefrance.com. But simply that everything is tied there for simplicity. I love simplicity. People go there, everything is attached to that website, whether it's they want to see videos, whether they want a buyer's course, whether they want the e-guide, all those things are attached there. Thanks very Perfect. Much, Michael. Amazing. I will send you those links so you have them. I appreciate awesome. Your time.
This video is brought to you by Holocaza. Our tool transforms independent local real estate agents to global real estate agents. Create your own profile for free and get contacted by international investors. Sign up with the link in the description.